Councillor Frank Collis.
That's it? Yeah, okay, that's great, okay. In which case, we've got a couple of gentlemen here from Exmouth Football Club to speak to us. Whilst their application is in the pack, which you might have seen, Lisa's suggestion is actually, given the fact that the reason we might support it is because of the floodlight provision that they have, which is the helicopter landing site for emergencies, but it's probably more appropriate that we consider it onto the service level agreements, which we're going to be looking at in the next month together for the next financial year. So it's quite likely that that's what we'll do. But as the gentleman had to come here to speak to us about how we can support them, we thought it was sensible for them to speak now as we're all here rather than sending them away. So without further ado, if you'd like to say a few words.
It's gone red, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
I didn't even press mine on.
Well, firstly, look, thank you very much for sort of inviting me to like to say a few words. All I want to do really is just literally give you a little bit of background. First, a little bit of background about the team. Promoted last year back into the Western League. This year, at a senior level, we have a slim chance of promotion to Southern League, which would be the highest level that the town has ever been at, and would very much sort of push us into sort of regional football, going out as far as places like Thatcham, Basingstoke, Evesham, so much, much sort of larger area. We currently run 3 senior sides and 5 junior sides. We're looking, that's increased this year by about 3 teams. We're looking very much to increase that further, dependent obviously on pitch provision and FA coaches. What we're really trying to do is very much, you know, push the club into the community, be very much part of the community. Mentioned about the obviously the down there ambulance and the pitch. It's something we're extremely proud to be involved with and very, very happy to help with. We had to get the lights done in September. They were failing and we needed to spend in excess of £20,000. Without that, obviously, we certainly wouldn't have had a first team and the rest of the club would have been very much in difficulty. But also, we certainly would have been able to obviously provide the provision for the Devon ambulance, which is important. Apart from that, we try very much to sort of get involved in things like obviously the food bank locally and also with charitable things going on within the town and just really trying to sort of very much become a part of the community and hopefully something that the community will end up being very proud of.
Does anyone have any questions they want to ask for the gentleman in here? Councillor Gazzard.
Thank you. You mentioned that obviously the floodlights is in respect of the air ambulance, but should you get promoted, and hopefully you will, are there rules in under the FA that you have to have better quality lights? So is that part of what you're saying as well?
No, when we did the lights, we made sure that they were certainly good enough for the next level of football. We also made sure that they were low energy, trying to fit our sort of obviously again our carbon footprint and obviously what we're trying to do at the club. But there are other entry level things which would be needed for Southern League football, which we do get a little bit of time to provide. But we're currently working on one of the things we've just done. We've just bought 2 of the old turnstiles from the Anfield Road end of Liverpool via another non-league club, and they would need to be put in, for example. But there would be a number of things we'd have to do, certainly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? No? Okay, well, thank you very much. You might find it more useful to leave rather than to stay and listen to more minutes than that, to put it bluntly. But thank you very much.
And thank you for your time.
Lisa, you'll be in touch.
So all I need to do to upgrade your application from a grant application to a service level agreement is that we just need to agree some key performance indicators, which would obviously be framed around the floodlights and the provision of the night landing site, on which you're doing on behalf of the community. And sort of on behalf of the town council, because it was the town council that it was Bill Nash that instigated that project, you remember. So I just need to do a little bit of work with you. It's the same application form, but there's an extra section in there for key performance indicators, just the sorts of things that we'd like to, hold you to, really. And then, then it can be reconsidered under the framework of a service level agreement rather than a grant. Are members in agreement that that's the way we should approach it?
When would that be coming? Sorry to...
I was saying to Councillor Sadiq that historically we've looked at service level agreements at the annual town council meeting in May, but Julie and I are of the opinion that we really need to get them done before the end of the financial year, because otherwise we're slightly out of kilter with our own financial accounting periods. But also, you know, we'd like to give some certainty to the organisations that we're funding before the start of their financial year, rather than sort of, you know, one quarter in, as it were. So my suggestion, but we'll need to agree at the end of this meeting, is to find a date, sometime before the end of March, when we can look at the service level agreements. We've had two or three in. I think we'll probably end up with about five that we need to consider. And to do that as a separate meeting, and then you can look at them in their entirety, you'll know what the budget is, and then we can have a look at them, rather than doing them piecemeal. Because I've had two in already, but I didn't want to put them on the agenda because I thought you're not going to, you know, it's a bit silly to look at two in isolation without looking at all of them. Right, are you happy with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So, Julie, if you can just minute that we've deferred it. That would be great. Okay.
Well, I'm happy, as you said, I'm happily retired, so you can get me at any time if you like and sort of come and see.
All right, lovely. Thank you very much.
Okay, in which case we move on to the Finance Committee meeting minutes, which were all the way back in November. Does anyone have a chance to look at them? Does anyone have any queries? Unless we're happy. If not, can I have a proposer?
Councillor Whips to propose and Councillor Gazard to second.
Thank you.
Okay. And then any matters arising on the minutes?
Don't think so.
No? Okay. Move on to item four, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Councillor Elson?
I'm not to declare. It's not working. I need to declare that.
I'm 10 hooks at the point.
No, so it's the same as an arts meeting. I'm treasurer of the Exmouth District Community Transport Group.
Great.
Councillor
Bailey.
Thank you.
The next one is resolve press and public be excluded from the meeting during part two. There is no further press or public here, so I think we can proceed. Straight on to item six, report from the responsible financial officer, Lisa.
Okay, so there is a report there in terms of budgetary control, and I suppose there's a couple of things that we want to highlight. One is that we have invested another £343,000 in the CCLA's public sector deposit fund. So we've now got a total of £443,000 in there. Anybody's mic red? So there's £443,000 in there. And also, just to give an update, that the Council's Charity Trust Fund Working Party met on the 23rd of January, and authority has been given to our auditors, Thomas Westcott, to apply to the Charity Commission on behalf of the Town Council to ask for the objects clause of the trust to be broadened. You'll recollect that we're somewhat limited in what we can spend that money on, and there's been an aspiration for some time to speak to the Charity Commission and see if we can have that scope broadened so that we can actually use that money for the benefit of Exmouth. Thomas Westcott are actually doing that on our behalf. They are writing to the Charity Commission to scope that out. Councillor Elson has already warned us that it's likely to be a fairly lengthy process. So I don't think, we're probably looking at sort of 6 months or more before we can get those objects changed. But then that will open up the scope for the Trust Fund Working Party to, use that money meaningfully. Because as it stands, we're hardly spending anything. It's just sat there doing nothing, which, slightly out of kilter with the original intentions of the legacy. So in terms of our bank statements and bank reconciliation, We've got £97,000, just under £98,000 in our community account, £5,000 in our current account, and then in our active saver, we've got £855,259. So still very healthy balances. And then obviously on top, we've got the investment in the CCLA Public Sector Fund. There's a list of total payments that were expended in November, December and January there. Funds held on behalf of others, so these include the Coast Hopper Fund, which is the bus fund, which again is dormant money that's sat there. We need to find a way of releasing that and spending it. I think that might need to be our next mission, Julie.
Yeah.
Patrol boat. So, interestingly, I was at an Estuary Management Partnership meeting this afternoon. Graham Forshaw was there. Very grateful for the £10,000 contribution that councillors have agreed to make towards the patrol boat. He said that they've identified a boat and it should be finalising the purchase of it in April. And then he said, you know, there might be scope for him to organise a visit for council members to go out on the boat. but anyway, I've spoken to him about that patrol boat money. So you'll remember that the patrol boat funds are, again, funds that we have been holding that were originally collected from various leisure sailing club partners and the town council historically to pay for fuel for the patrol boat that was doing the patrolling. So it would be absolutely pertinent for us to transfer that money over to Exeter City Council to use for fuel on the new patrol boat. And I'll arrange with Graham how we can facilitate that. And then that will, we'll tie that one off, as you were. That one will be cleared away. We've still got this small fund of trees for the avenues, which again is this historical fund. I sort of think with the climate change agenda at the moment, maybe we just need to, find somewhere to buy some trees and plant some trees and get rid of that as well. There's a Garth Gibson fund, there's a little bit of money left in that. And there's a little bit of money left in the Millennium Wood, which was Councillor Brenda Taylor's locality budget when she was a county councillor. So all of those things need a little bit of work, really, to tidy them up, because they sit on the report every month and nothing's done with them.
So could we not... I know it's not hardly any money in the tree fund, but would it not be worth going to the subcommittee that deals with the climate change and things
to identify a site, a meeting. Maybe it could be when the climate group reconvenes.
That's when we know that it's more appropriate for the representatives on the climate change group to perhaps make a recommendation for where they think that tree or trees could be planted, saplings.
Yeah, perfectly. And then there's a little bit for Brixton Improvement Group as well. So they're all sort of miscellaneous pots of small amounts of money that we need to sort of tidy up, really, and we'll try and put a bit of effort into doing that.
Can I just ask what the Garth Gibson Fund, what that was specifically for?
So, I wasn't in post at that time, but my understanding was that it was a fund that was set up when...
For a memorial for T. Garth.
Yes.
Oh, right. It wasn't to be dispersed to anybody.
No, it was there to put a memorial.
Part of the fund was to be put for educational use for young people, but I don't think
they've never come back to us.
No.
Okay.
They had part of the money and then they haven't come back for any more.
So, little pockets of money that we just need to sort of tidy up, really. In terms of the Charitable Trust Fund, again, this was reported at the Trust Funds Held, this was reported at the Trust Fund Working Party. So we are holding funds on behalf of the Williams Adam Westwood Trust, which is the one that we're trying to get the Objects Clause amended for, the Exmouth Projects Trust and the Barrett Bequest, and the up-to-date values of those are listed there. In addition to the cash funds that we hold, and they're in the COIF Charity Deposit Fund account, which is another CCLA fund, We also have shareholdings that have been bequeathed to us as part of those legacies, and the up-to-date shareholding values are listed there as well. And then we've got £7,000 in national saving bond stock. So those figures change, as you know, they change slightly from quarter to quarter, but they're staying fairly stable. And I think if we can change the objects clause, then we can start looking at some of those funds a bit more meaningfully. So we did append to the agenda, we appended the purchase contract notes, just so that you could see that we have invested the money in the CCLA investment fund, so that's there. So that's the RSO's report.
Any questions on that from Lisa before we move on? No?
I do notice that the shares that we have, the value of those has actually gone down between, I know it's only between October 19 and January 20, but I just wonder who administers those and how decisions on those are.
They are static shareholdings, so we're not buying and selling shares.
No, no.
It is a shareholding that we have been bequeathed as part of a legacy. So we hold those shares, and obviously the share prices fluctuate on the US stock markets depending on the performance of the companies. And so
and the
value and the exchange rate. So the values that we report are based on the share prices that Julie pulls off the system, and then she converts those into sterling at the pertinent exchange rate. They're all US listed companies.
Yeah.
So they're all US shareholdings. And again, historically, there has been some debate about whether we ought to try and release those shares from a US shareholding and try and get that into sterling. And Councillor Nash did quite a lot of work on this when he was chairman of the Finance Committee. But it's not easy because it's a legacy that's been left to us. We have to be a little bit careful about what we do.
And presumably, so we only get a dividend as income, but we can't touch the original.
Well, there are implications. And certainly there were tax implications as well in terms of us cashing them out. So we can revisit it potentially. I'll dig out all the notes from when Bill was looking at it historically. But we have sought advice, haven't we, Julie, historically? But it's quite complicated.
Last time Councillor Nash actually went into it, tax implications were such that it would outstrip any dividends that we were going to get, and actually strip away some of the capital that we were going to get. And in also, the difficulty that it's a legacy, and therefore it's much more difficult to be able to get them in the first place. So I think that's how the late Councillor Nash actually found out.
I do think, though, that when the when Kevin Rose was acting as internal auditor for us, he got us to apply for a dispensation.
Yeah.
So we are signed up to some sort of tax relief scheme with the US Treasury or whatever. So it's possibly something that we need to look at again. But
maybe I'll talk to Tom.
Maybe, yes.
So is there any, if we were to release the money, is there any statements as to what we would need to spend it on?
So the shares are held in conjunction with
it's
part of the other one, yes.
Oh, right, okay.
So we have to spend the money in line with the charitable objects
clause.
So
it's probably worth once that's resolved, then is the time to probably.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think we need to resolve the objects.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Brilliant.
Okay.
If we convert it into capital, we then have the problem that we couldn't spend it.
Yes. Great. Well, in which case, we'll move on to the statement of income and expenditure, which was also sent out.
That's been circulated. Julie's just going to do the bank reconciliation with one member. So again, there are no areas for concern in terms of our income and expenditure report. We're still in a very healthy position. Obviously, we're two thirds, three quarters of the way through the year.
Yeah.
You can see from our bank balances that we're in a healthy position. So there are a few areas where it looks as if we've had an overspend, but in most cases that's where we've agreed at full council that we're going to take something out of reserves to cover our project costs, and that reconciliation will be done at the end of the year. So unless anybody's got any questions, has anybody got any questions relating to the income and expenditure? No? Okay, so then you've also had the list of payments have been made between the 1st of November and the 31st of January. Has anybody got any questions regarding payments that have been made?
No.
No? Okay.
Okay. It's fine. Should we just wait for those to be signed before we move on? Well, whilst that's just been finished, if you want to, hope you've all got the grant application paperwork.
Yeah.
So we'll turn to those next. So obviously the football club one we're pending for the service level agreement, so we don't need to consider that one.
Their grant application. I'm not aware of the loan agreement with Blackmore Theatre.
We're actually paying for them to deliver a service rather than a contribution to the floodlights, which they've already done, I guess. I suppose that's one of the reasons Lisa's suggesting that.
I think it just fits in terms of the fact that they're supplying service to us through the provision of the floodlights for a community night landing site, which was a project that was initiated by the town council. I just think it really fits well with the service level agreement, and it would give them, you know, we could potentially offer them a 3-year service agreement, and it'll give them some sort of, you know, commitment in terms of, you know, operating cost or accrual of funds towards those lights to make sure that night landing site is available. So that would be something for you to look at when we've got all the service level agreements in together, and you can look at them all in their entirety against the budget that we've got. So,
well, I don't disagree with giving them the money. If they only want 3,500, that's all I'm saying.
Can we table it for the meeting when we look at the service level agreements, and then, you know, we can have a look at it.
I think we're all agreed that the service level agreement is the right way to go for what we're giving, what we would consider for them. So it's just a question of how much we feel, which.
But I think you need to do that in the context of all the service level agreement applications that come in. Because we haven't had all of them in yet, but.
Councillor Miller?
Yeah, I think it's. I think I agree with all of that, but I'd just like to add that beyond the lights, the town, the football club has started to really make do some things that are beneficial for the community, which such as they provide a collection point for the food bank, and they do get a great deal of donations. The vast majority of them they're volunteers. The only people they pay the players and the kitchen staff, and all of the money is reinvested back into the club. So, I hope that when the service level agreement comes up, the other roles that the town football club play in the community are considered on top of the lights.
So, we can potentially include those as the, you know, the KPIs, the key performance indicators. We could make the service level agreement contingent on facilities like that being available. So so I'll work with you and with the football club to work, because my aspiration is that when the service level agreements come to you, that we quantify what we're sort of trying and fine-tune a little bit what the service level agreements are covering. And I'll talk to you a little bit more under agenda item 9 about some recommendations I've got about the grant process and service level process, and it'll be a little bit clearer then, I think. So you've got two applications that you need to consider.
So the key point here, we've got the current balance left is £3,275. Is this the final finance meeting this year?
Yeah.
Yes.
So not saying we should spend a lot on that basis, but this is probably the last opportunity for that to award grants this financial year. So first one being East Devon Support Group Parkinson's contribution towards the cost of hosting specialist classes, £750.
I'm just wondering, what does this actually mean? Does that mean we are paying for someone's wages or what? What are we paying for here? Because it's nothing. It's not buying a piece of equipment, something like that.
It looks like from the application they've just essentially deducted it from their overall costs, so they're asking for the money and it would be absorbed into the overall costs.
Overall costs of what?
Yeah, so well to fund toward the it says to fund employment of specialist Parkinson's physios and hall hire, but they're not.
You say they had that last year. Mm-hmm. Last year or year before. And that was to go towards like a physio now, because it's a club that comes together.
Yeah.
So they said that they're looking for funding to
pay. It says employee costs, premises costs, group social meetings, it's listed out, £550 for the employees, £175 for the premises, £25 for group social meeting, whatever that is.
I think that's tea and coffee and things. Exercise classes.
Mm-hmm.
So they want some support to actually pay for the physiotherapist to come in and deliver the exercise classes, to help with the cost of the hall hire, and then I think the social meeting is the tea and coffee bit at the end of the class where they have a bit of a social meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're looking for.
Councillor Elson.
Well, I was just going to say, they are a fairly small club. They've met our place before now. Some of them, half of them, have been excellent at. And I was going to really sort of reiterate how important it is, the exercise that they do for people with Parkinson's. You know, it's immensely important that they do keep as agile as they can and as fit as they can, especially when their disease progresses. So therefore, I would support an application. I'm happy to support certain people who want to do less than that, but I just want to reiterate the amount, because nowadays it's so difficult to get physios, just generally through the NHS and through Exmouth. It is very important that they try and keep the movement as long as they can to give the quality of life that they need.
Okay. Councillor Gazard?
Yeah, I would just concur with what Lynn said, and she's proposing £750. I'll be happy to second that.
Any other?
Just speak loudly. I'm just a bit confused about what this 750 is actually covering. I mean, I can see it's under expenditure, but their income seems to be greater than their expenditure in any way, and I'm slightly wondering why they need the money.
That's my only question, is that support the idea, but it's almost a bit like a principle that they appear to have £7,000 in the bank. If it's a worthy cause, of course it is, but then where do we draw the line? On the one hand, we shouldn't penalise them because they've prudently managed their bank balance, but on the other hand, if someone has got a healthy bank balance like that could apply to any of these, then does that come? I think there is something I was reading the forms or the orders earlier, Lisa, which said that if they have got sufficient funds themselves, that is something to consider. Mm. So that was my only consideration as well. So I don't know what everyone else feels about that.
I mean, it's not a great amount that they're asking for. I'm absolutely supportive of what they're doing. Parkinson's is a horrible disease.
Yes, we're
Thank you, Chair. They may have the £7,000 in the bank for a particular project that they're aiming to do in the near future that we know nothing about. So it's quite possible that it's already earmarked for something. And as Ollie said, it's not a great amount, is it?
No. Yeah, I mean, it was just, that was just, my point was just that in future, when we're looking at grants, I think that is a consideration, is the sort of funds that the organisation has already. But I think we had a proposal in a second ago, and I wasn't going to suggest changing that unless anyone violently disagrees. No. So I think it was, who was the proposer?
Lynn
and
Steve.
By Steve.
Steve.
Little amount. And then the final one.
Can we just take a vote?
Yes, there we go. And then the final amount, the Exmouth and District Community Transport Group, which we've got various learned people in the room that can speak about this one, I'm sure. So towards the cost of the new bus, Lynn, did you wish to say?
I was going to say that, I can say, unfortunately, the community bus has reached the end of its life, because it's now costing in repairs. I mean, the last lot of repairs cost £5,000, which is, ridiculous to carry on with that bus. A new bus is 57 in total, £57. We have been very fortunate to have quite a lot of people who have actually given us grants and have given us donations, one of which was a very nice lady in Bronte Court that gave us £20, which I can. Obviously it is to replace the bus which is used for the Ring and Ride service, which you contribute an annual under our service level agreement. But it also does trips, it also does all sorts of other things for not only the elderly, it also for those with mobility, and so you have a couple of young people that live right out at Yettingham places and Limestone, that believe it or not, even in Limestone you can't always get into it when you want to get in. So it acts not only as a service to take people from A to B, but in fact, if you've seen the video, it is very much a sort of a social bus where everybody asks about everybody, and it actually is helping with loneliness and isolation, I believe, but probably a bit biased. Bodley Town Council have contributed, and we've got the League of Friends of Exmouth Hospital.
How much does it leave you short?
So, well, I mean, if you're kind enough to give us a £1,500, I think we've still got about another seven to go, which we would take out of funds if necessary. But I did explain, I think, in the application that Jill sent in, I think I explained that although we've got 60,000, obviously that includes some monies that have already come in, plus obviously all the restricted income we get from the council, from Devon County Council to run the Ring and Ride service. So at year end, we'd probably be lucky to be with £30,000, I think, probably right, something like that. And then we obviously make a loss anyway, it's not a major thing. So what we're trying to do is just build up everybody being part of it, of course everybody will be credited with that, if we can reach the, which we think we will be able to if we've got these odd few little bits to finish up.
Councillor
Gazza,
is that your...
Yeah, I think it's an excellent idea, Chair. I mean, it's a lifeline for many, many people throughout the district, and those that don't know how they would get from A to B or whether they would get to A to B. Can you just clarify then, what are you asking for?
£1,500.
Oh, because
I sent an agenda out with the wrong information in, and then I sent an amended agenda out.
Oh,
so it's
never asked for that.
£1,500.
It said on the form
£1,500.
Yes.
I love it. I know the form. Lisa's very kind. I think the bus provides for everybody, well-being.
Second that, but I'd like to say that it's to put the point that it's shocking how expensive bus fares are locally. It's a £3.60 return from Brixington to this town hall. I mean, it's extortionate. I mean, the central government now are putting money into making buses cheaper across the UK. So I think it's so important that we provide funding or something for this group, which has been going for quite a long time, and obviously has a very important role in the community. So I think this is I second it.
Was Brian, did you have anything?
I'd just like to say as a point of interest that the concessionary fares on the community bus are under review at the moment from the government, and this is why they have decided, I think quite rightly, to get a new bus, which is an 8-seater bus, because if the review goes possibly the wrong way, then you have to need drivers who are trained and qualified, which should be £3,000 a driver, is it, then, if I remember? So they're actually trying to improve it and trying to go the cheapest and most cost-effective way of doing it. So they're making considerable efforts in that department.
Okay, I think we have the proposal with Steve and the seconder was Paul. Can we all vote for the
if you've got a personal interest, I think you probably ought to decline.
Okay.
So that's fine. We'll record 3 abstentions for the people that have declared personal interest, and then we've still got it passed with the majority.
Okay, that's carried then. So then in that case, can we move on to item 9?
We can do it under this next item, number 9.
You can do your bit first. Do you want me to say it now?
No, you can say it now, it's fine.
The only thing I was going to ask is, in time for the next financial year, there's 2 points really. One is to make sure we've got a box on there saying CIO, because all the charities now have got to be a CIO, they're not a... Because what they're trying to do is the charity commissioner trying to change all those that are company limited by guarantees into CIOs.
Okay.
So that it would be helpful to have a box on there.
Okay.
Excuse me, CIOs, what's that? Charitable incorporated organisation. It means that instead of like you have to be a charity and registered with Companies House, you can just be one but you're limited by guarantees.
Okay.
And the second thing is, could we have an electronic form? I've got a programme that converted it for me.
Yes.
But you know, some people's handwriting is, I mean, if Jill had filled it in, you wouldn't have read it then. as the people in their sister's handwriting would. So I got, you know, I'm just asking whether, because obviously if you need something to do it, I can do it, but I just wondered.
So do you think a Word version would be adequate? If we did a Word version and a PDF version?
A Word version that you can
edit.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got the up-to-date Word program, you can actually, like I've done the extra Word Trust form, so that people can just pick it up and type it all in and just pull it off and sign it. Yeah. It's just that, I mean, obviously I converted mine, but I just thought to write all that in would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Great. Just for the next financial year.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the revised policy, Lisa, would you mind just briefly explaining that what has changed?
Well, so... We have had grants which have come out of our annual grant budget, which for the last few years has been £10,000. Then we've had 3-year grants, and then we've had service level agreements. And there's been some confusion about what's the difference between a 3-year grant and a service level agreement, and also what makes people want to apply for a 3-year grant versus a 1-year grant. And it occurred to Julie and I that actually it's a little bit odd offering 1-year grants and 3-year grants and service level agreements, and slightly out of kilter with our budgeting process to offer 3-year grants when actually you've got a defined grant amount and a defined service level agreement. So the service level agreements we do over 3 years, and we know that every year we have to put a certain amount in to cover those. The grants, the 3-year grants, it just feels slightly out of kilter, and I don't think we define clearly enough what the criteria are for a 3-year grant versus a 1-year grant, or a 3-year grant versus a service level agreement. So we thought, in the interest of sort of simplifying things, because people applying for them and looking at the application forms get confused as well, so I thought I would try and tighten up the criteria and differentiate between, you know, the grant scheme, which predominantly is aimed at sort of capital projects and one-off projects, versus service level agreements where we're looking to contribute to ongoing services that are being provided, quite often on behalf of the town council or on a delegated authority from the town, or with some support from us. And we thought that actually perhaps if we just simplified it and we had a grant application form and a service level application form, and we said that the grants were for a 1-year period, but people aren't precluded from coming back and applying again, we thought that might be simpler. Because looking at some of the organisations that have applied for 3-year grants, I can't see why they needed the 3-year grant, because they're not actually funding long-term projects. It's almost like it was giving, an extra certainty over income, but it just doesn't feel... feels a little bit out of kilter to us. And I think, you know, that's reflected in the fact that when people look at our application forms on the website, they get confused about what they're applying for. They don't understand the difference between the three-year grant, the grants and service level agreements. So I had an attempt at just tidying up the grant application form and the service level agreement form, and I did it on the basis that grants were, you know, on an annual basis. So when we put the guidelines in, we would say what the total amount of grant funding is for that year, and that, you know, the individual grants above £1,500, you know, probably won't get through, because if you want to support, you know, 6 or 7 organisations over the period of a year, you don't really want to be encouraging applications of £1,500. And likewise for the service level agreements, just in terms of managing people's expectations, to say that, you know, this is the total budget that we've got available, and we'll be looking for some sort of, you know, performance indicators that we can tie into a service level agreement we can hold people to. But I don't know what the background is to the three-year grant scheme, and I thought, you know, maybe members that have been on the council for a while could clarify.
Councillor Wilson.
Long in the tooth.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say the reason that you have the three-year grants originally was because you have groups such as Centre Stage, such as the Carnival, that don't provide a service, but the town felt that they should support annually with a grant. That's really what was behind it.
Yeah.
So the only thing I would say, I actually agree with the sense of having two but not having three. So I think probably it's only fair that some of these people come back annually and ask you for a grant, because they may have a completely different set up 1 year to the next year.
Yes.
And therefore, 1 year they might want 1,000, and that might go a long way.
Yeah.
Another year, £500 might go a long way.
Yeah.
So I actually agree with them coming back annually and asking you for a grant. But that's the reason why there was a 3 year, because the town council at the time felt it was a group that was putting on a service to the town that was going to be. Increase the economy of the town, a bit like your festival, I suppose,
yeah,
but smaller. So that's why.
Okay.
So whether you could, in the capital grants, just expand the wording so that you include where it says one-off, you put projects such as the provision of new equipment and the one-off projects, whether we put in there that, you know, I don't know, something along the lines that you look at other grants, but I mean, I actually think we should look at that annually, because I think some people who have 3 year grants assume they're going to get that.
Yes.
They do their budget,
yeah.
And then they say, well, that's fine because we're going to get £1,000 from
yeah.
the town council,
yeah.
And don't actually produce a proper business plan or a proper actual, a plan of what they're going to do. Whereas the service level agreements are totally different, because you've actually got something you can measure, and then you've got a KPI. And I think that's important. The important thing with that is that we make sure that we do follow that up,
yes.
And perhaps if we notice anything in the press or anything, we should actually,
yes.
Rather than wait till the end of the year and we get the annual report,
yeah.
We actually, if we find that there's some confusion or somebody brings something to our attention,
yeah.
We perhaps should review the KPIs 6 months in rather than wait for the year end,
yeah.
Where we've very often, unfortunately, been in a position, as you said, we've done it very late, and we sort of come up to the council meeting, we haven't had time to consider it, and we say, oh, we better do that again,
yeah.
You know.
And I think also that, you know, some of the organisations that we were funding through three-year grants, I mean, they're no longer applying to us for money.
Absolutely.
So that was the other thing. That clearly all that need has gone away because they're being funded through other sources.
And it feels much fairer that we look at it annually, because it's almost, if we're agreeing to 3 years up front, then someone might come along in year two that actually was more, we would rather fund than these people who already agreed for 3 years. So it gives us that opportunity to move quick with the times, or as things have changed better, and committing to the 3 years.
Also, we've got responsibility as town council money, that we actually do recognise that what we're actually giving money for is on the correct basis. And certainly for some of these organisations, committees change, events change, and it might well be that we need to ask questions, but they're just having the money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes perhaps we're not doing the scrutiny we should do.
Yes, I agree. And what we could potentially do then is the money that we've budgeted for the three-year fund, we can put into the grant fund, and then you've got a bigger pot, and you can consider all of those grants on, you know, on an annual basis. And I think you'll probably get more benefits out of actually, because you'll be helping more organisations, and it will simplify things for people when they're looking on our website. They'll understand that we've got a grant and we've got a service level agreement, and there's certain criteria that you've got to meet if you want to apply for a service level agreement. Otherwise, you apply for a grant, and those are considered on a case by case basis.
It's absolutely clear,
and it's absolutely clear. So that's what Julie and I were
sort of violent agreement.
Good. Okay.
Did you want anything from us in terms of that, or are you just happy that you'll put that into practice on the site?
And what we'll do is we'll update the forms. I mean, if you get a chance to have a look at them, Lynn, you've filled one out, so you might have some suggestions on how we can improve it based on, you know, a user actually filling it out.
Okay.
So if we can take those comments on board, we'll tweak them, and then we will upload them to the website. And the other thing I just think, sorry, Councillor, the other thing I thought about was... you know, whether councillors wanted to do a little bit of publicity around the fact that we do have these grants, you know, to try and encourage some new organisations to come through, because we do tend to get repeat applications from people that know it's there, but is it worth us doing a little bit of, you know, publicity in the new town council year, just to say, you know, we have these funds available and, you know, we'd be happy to consider applications. Okay.
Councillor Matt.
Hi, thanks. I had a specific question about the policy with regards to retrospective applications. So the Exmouth Town Football Club application, which I know we've considered this evening, the money had already been spent before I'd spoken with the club, and it's put them in quite major financial difficulty, paying £25,000 at the start. But do we have a policy on retrospective where the organisation's already spent?
Done in the past, I think we had the Open Door Centre, didn't we? Was a retrospective one.
Yeah, the dishwasher.
The dishwasher, because their dishwasher broke and they couldn't wait for us. So we have done it in the past. I think it would just be considered along with all the other factors. Mm. Obviously, if the reason it was retrospective was because they had huge amounts of cash hanging around in their bank that they'd been able to pay for straight away, it probably wouldn't be considered as favourably. But it would just depend on all the other factors.
Just concerned a little bit. It's just come to me. I'm just a little bit concerned. This evening with Exmouth Town, what we've done is we've deferred it to make it a service level agreement going into the future. But these floodlights were bought some time ago.
I don't think the service level agreement is for the fact that they've paid for the floodlights. It's because they'll be providing us with an ongoing service and facilities. It's almost irrespective of the fact that they've got new floodlights. As I understand the service level agreement, it's they're providing a service to the town, and therefore we are prepared to pay them an amount of money each year to make sure that service is available. So we wouldn't expect them to buy new floodlights every year, but we expect the service to be available.
Are there organisations, a final question, are there organisations which apply for both service level agreements and also one-off grants? Is there a rule, is there a policy?
Well, apart from the Exmouth and District Transport.
We do, because we have a service level agreement that's tripart with Devon County Council, Town Councils, and Parish Councils, which was set up in 1991. So that's a service level agreement with all parishes, towns, and Devon County Council and District Council pairs. But what we've said in the past is if there's a one-off project, which is what you've already illustrated here, if there's a one-off project that you're doing, then you can apply for a separate grant.
So I would say, you know, if we can...
It has to be a capital project, not anything to do with...
So I would that's my point with the floodlights, because the floodlights is a one-off capital cost in the unexpected case of replacing it. Their service is separate. And it's just, my question is just related to the advice I give to organisations.
So I would say that in the case of the football club, you're better off looking at a contribution to the floodlights in the context of a service level agreement, because it's so distinctly linked to the provision of that site as a light landing site for the air ambulance, which was an Exmouth Town Council project. That doesn't mean that they can't apply to us for a grant for a capital contribution towards something else that they need. But I think the service level agreement, you know, gives them, you know, it recognises the fact that they have made their pitch available and their floodlights available for a community service, and that's exactly what the service level agreements are aimed at doing, whereas the grants are aimed at, you know, capital projects, like a contribution to a bus. So, you know, there'd be nothing to preclude them from applying to us for a grant.
Well, plenty of groups that are just doing a particular project.
Yeah. But the service level agreement, I think, would, you know, give them a contribution towards, you know, the very valuable light landing service that they're supplying for us. Actually, I think it's slightly remiss of Town Council not to have had a conversation with them about, you know, the costs associated with that service, because it's been in place for a couple of years.
It has, and I know that they are in some difficulties because of the unexpected flights, and I was just worried that because we've deferred it.
I think this is a particular issue, though, as Lisa said. I don't think we thought about it at the time that the Town Football Club agreed to do it, and we asked them, you know, it was a project with the Town Council. I don't think any of us, in all honesty, thought about the ongoing cost or the ongoing thing. So,
So if they, you know, if we deal with the service level agreement, but then there's something else that they want support for as a capital project through the grant scheme, then that would be for members to consider. But there's nothing that stops them from applying to both.
Okay,
they've got quite distinct, and what we're trying to do through this process is to make it very clear that, you know, a service level agreement is for one thing and a grant is for another, and just to clarify a little bit of confusion over that. So if members are happy, then we will make those amendments to the forms. We'll get them uploaded, and we'll look at doing a little bit of press in the new year. And we will convene a meeting. But there is some.
We've got one final thing, couple of things to do. So, receive a noted letter of thanks from the Sea Cadets attached for our support. Hopefully, you've all seen that. And I think that's it. But Lisa, did you want to agree the meeting date now, whilst we're all here, to discuss the service level agreements? Get that in the diary, and then. That would be good. You could at least tell the Town Football Club then all exactly the date that we're coming. So have you got any dates to suggest, Lisa?
So, I mean, ideally I would say it needs to be done in the next month. Julie will send out, we've had some service level applications in.
So we need to give people time to fill them out.
And get them in. So I would say if we can look sort of, you know, from a month's time, sort of maybe the last 2 weeks in March or middle of March, something like that. It's okay, I can do it.
So the week of the 16th then?
Of March, yep. So we've got a planning committee on the Monday.
And plastics reviewed on Monday.
Yeah, there's a town team on Wednesday. Haven't got anything in the diary for Thursday the 19th.
Yeah.
Can you make that?
I can. I'm in Bristol in the day, but I'm not here evening.
So would Thursday the 19th of March at 6 PM be satisfactory?
Yeah.
It's
car park in town, but that's fine.
I'm on annual leave, but I will be in the next one.
Great, so that's Thursday the 19th at 6 PM, and that is an extraordinary service level agreement meeting.
So what we'll do is we'll issue an agenda with, you know, all the service level agreements. So we've got a couple in already, but we'll get them all in, and then you can look at them all collectively, and you'll know how much you've got and how you can allocate that. All right.
Okay. Well, I think it draws the meeting to a close. Thank you very much, everybody.